Welcome to Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM, featuring area robotics teams and special guests in the robotics world. Robotics Roundtable is supported by Berrien Springs Public Schools, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community. Cook Nuclear Plant. Explore careers at aep.com/careers. South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. And Lakeshore Public Schools, supporting and offering STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, grounded in tradition, committed to excellence.
Hello, and welcome to Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. I'm your host, Tim Dunai. We meet here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to discuss high school robotics with teams from the Southwest Michigan area. You can also catch any Robotics Roundtable discussion you missed on WSJM.com as a podcast or see the video of our discussion on WSJM.com. Facebook page. Welcome, everybody, and I'd like to welcome some guests that we have from Manchester, New Hampshire. We've gotten outside of Southwest Michigan, definitely, with that. And we've got a couple of guests from FIRST, the organization. FIRST stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. And I'll give you that much of a little definition, and our guest will give you a little bit more of that. And I'm going to let first names only, Fiona and Frank, I'm going to let them introduce themselves to you. And we'll start ladies first. Fiona, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself.
Sure. My name's Fiona Hanlon, and I'm the FRC program specialist at FIRST. So I deal a lot with all of our volunteers, and that's kind of, we're a volunteer-run organization, as well as interacting with a lot of the teams and kind of making sure that they're all set for the season.
Very good. And we'll go into defining what all set is. Frank, if you wouldn't mind introduce yourself.
Sure. My name is Frank Merrick. I'm the director of FIRST Robotics Competition, and I'm responsible for the crew that does all things sort of FRC, from game design to kit of parts design and development to logistics to, awards and judging and all those kind of things that go along with.
Excellent. Yeah, we have, this is our sixth season. I think I've talked to you a little bit before and mentioned that to you. So the acronyms sometimes we throw around. Fiona used an acronym and Frank defined the acronym, which was great. FIRST is the organization and FRC, FIRST Robotics Competition. And anybody who's listened to us in the past couple of years, we've had high school area robotics teams on the radio and they participate in FIRST Robotics Competition. So whether those students knew it or not, you two are affecting quite a few of the things that they've been involved with. Frank, could you give us a little bit more of a definition of FIRST? Because it's an outstanding story, more than just a story, the entire movement, if you will.
Oh, sure. So FIRST is we're a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to inspire young people to pursue jobs in science and technology, and really to become science and technology leaders and innovators. So we have programs all the way from kind of pre-kindergarten up through high school, and there are a number of programs under that sort of the FIRST umbrella. The one that Fiona and I are part of, FIRST Robotics Competition, is a high school level program. This year, we have about 3,000 teams worldwide. I think we're in probably over 20 countries right now for this particular year. And FIRST, all the programs in FIRST are really very focused, a bit of a challenge this year, but really focused on sort of hands-on activities and competitions as to really inspire young people to kind of push beyond their boundaries and get interested in those science and technology careers in their future.
Yeah. So when you said the hands-on right away, everybody wants to get the hand sanitizer. That's the first thing we need to do. You did mention 3,000 teams or so this year. What were we in 2020 or 2019? Let's go back to 2019, the number of teams that we were at. I'm imagining we're down right now.
We are down right now. So we were actually, the number I can recall most easily is the 2020 count, which was, I think, slightly over 3,900. And so right now, the last time I looked for 2021, we're at 3,077, which is actually much better than any of us honestly anticipated. We always hope for the best, but our goal was lower than that, because what we had to do for 2021, of course, was redesign the program. Mm-hmm. So it was no longer focused on sort of in-person competitions, but these challenges that teams could pick up at home and do at home. And for the most part, do completely remotely. So all the students, all the mentors could actually be remote, assuming they had the technology available, which, you know, not everyone does. And we recognize that. We did our best to kind of see what we could do there to make sure that sort of just a limited amount of technology would kind of get you where you needed to go in terms of participation. But we do have to make, you know, really a radical change to the program. What we're hoping for is it's just going to be this year. And then right. by the time fall, spring comes around, everyone will have their inoculations, and we'll be back to in-person competitions, which is what we love and which what everybody loves and what everybody wants to go see. I'll tell you. I mean, you get to Tim, do not get me started.
So I will.
I know we don't have a lot of time here, so I'm going to stop talking.
I will tell you this: the excitement. It's great to see that excitement come from someone else. We have this rule in the Dunai family. When we go shopping, my wife and I, matter of fact, last night we went, and I started the watch when we walked in, and I'm like, we got to get out of here. And that's my goal. But shopping is not a place to hang out forever. Right. And if I bump into somebody and start talking robotics, my wife is happy because she knows we are there for way more. The time stops running. So
that's pretty funny.
So Fiona, talk a little bit about the at-home stuff. Anybody here local in the St. Joe Benton Harbor area or the WSJM listening area knows that they can come to the St. Joseph High School competition that has 40 teams throughout the state of Michigan that are here. The basketball stands are filled more than I've ever seen for a sporting competition, and they walk away just totally impressed, just minds blown. So we lose that piece, as Frank said. So what are we still doing for the teams to stay engaged this year that you've really been involved with?
Sure. Yeah. So as Frank mentioned, we kind of had to redesign our whole season kind of. And the unfortunate thing was we were planning to still have events in the beginning, right? Like we were trying to come up with a way to make sure we could have events and then kind of transitioned into well, it's not going to work out. COVID's not getting better. And so we kind of planned these three remote options. And as Frank alluded to, like we did really want to put a focus on teams that aren't able to meet in person. Because of how the health and safety regulations really differ from area to area, we wanted there to be at least one option for teams to participate in. And so we came up with three ideas. So we have the game design challenge, which is an opportunity for teams to actually create a game or first robotics competition. And there's a series of awards that go along with this. So the team creates a game, they get an interview with judges, and then they may win one of the awards. If they're chosen as one of the top teams, they actually move on to the next level and they have the chance to actually pitch their idea to headquarters staff. And the top games from the season will actually be chosen and put on what we call our shelf. And so that's actually how we design games for the future. And so moving forward, we'll actually be picking one of those games and trying to incorporate it into a future FRC game. So it's a really exciting opportunity for teams because that game will now be associated with that team when we go to play it in the future.
Yeah, as you know, Fiona, I am a judge advisor and I'm a judge advisor for the game design challenge. And I saw some of the team submissions yesterday, and I will admit, anybody who's been a part of FIRST hears some of the stories or the questions about when's the water game. I will tell you that was the first thing I was looking for is where's the water game. But still, it was these designs that are out there, and it's more than just the game. It's the theme behind the game, which was really impressive to see. So that's one of the challenges that we're working on. What else are they doing with maybe an investment that they already had in last year's robot?
Yeah, so one thing I'll just add for the game design challenge real quick is I think that's really cool about it is like you can engage all your team members because there is a lot of engineering that has to go into the field design, right? And so this was a cool way that teams who are completely remote could actually do both like the imagery side of things, the business side of things, and then obviously the engineering side with designing field elements. So that's actually the one I'm personally the most excited by. But moving on to the next one is the Infinite Recharge at Home. And so that's based on our 2020 game, so Infinite Recharge. And it's got a little bit of modifications. But the whole point here was that if teams are in a place where they can actually meet in person in some amount, so some teams are having two or three members going into their school, some of them are practicing in a parking lot, like anywhere that you can kind of set up this field, you can play the game. And right. we made it really easy for teams. So even if you don't have the field element, the wooden field element designs, like you can shoot at a wall. But there's a series of challenges there that teams can compete in. And we know that some teams have shooters and some teams don't. So there's a good mix of challenges that we designed. So that way, no matter what kind of team you, like what type of robot you designed, you can still participate in this. And we've seen a great deal of excitement around this. Teams are really excited. A lot of them are like time-based challenges. Mm-hmm. And so you can see like on some of the different forums, teams are like, oh, this is my score. And this other team's like, oh, I beat you. I have this score already. And so I'm really excited to see now that the groups are officially finalized, how the teams start to kind of bring themselves up.
Yeah. So there's in my area, I've liked several of the Facebook pages. So I see some information and I see how teams are doing their scouting, things that they've always done in the past. They're still doing it now with the new announcement of the alignment of which field that they're participating in, if you will. And then also a little bit later here today, I'm going to interview the Greengineers out of Berrien Springs. And I know I've talked with them a little bit and they've had some new kids that came in and they got to start driving a chassis. And now they're already looking forward to those challenges that they still get to do with the robot, which is great. The downside is as spectators, we don't get to see that. But for the students, the fun of the competition and the engineering aspects are all still there. So, you know, those are the things that we love about participating in FIRST or being involved with it. We are doing, this could have been an hour long interview, and unfortunately it's going to be a shorter one with you guys. If you guys could probably, I'm going to give you about a minute or so each. Tell me your involvement. I can see excitement from both of you. How did you get involved with FIRST?
Sure, I can go first. Okay. So I actually started out as a student in high school on a team. I'm from Tucson, Arizona. I was on team 1011 Crush. And so that's actually how I got started. And I instantly fell in love with the program, everything about it. I pretty much did every role on the team that I could think of. And after I left, I actually became one of the lead mentors for the team because our previous lead mentor had to step away to ensure that that team kind of continued on. So I was doing that while I was in college. And after I graduated college, I saw this job opening at FIRST and I thought, what better fits me than that? And so I applied and I got the job and moved across the country. And now it's, I don't know, 4 or 5 years later, and that feels like forever ago.
Well, I can speak for the volunteers. We're glad to have you. And I'm sure Frank is too. Yeah,
delighted to have Fiona on the team. She's wonderful, terrific.
Right.
Really. How about you? Core contributor.
How about you, Frank? How'd you get involved?
So it was 2003. I was an engineering manager at a manufacturing facility for Rockwell Automation that happened to be at the time in Manchester, New Hampshire. It's no longer there. It's a grocery store now. But the at the time, I got a cold call from a local team from Manchester Central High School, 131 Chaos. And they just asked to speak to the engineering manager, and it happened to be me. And they said they had lost their build site and brought them in, talked to them, got them a build site in our basement, started mentoring them. Some of the other engineers in the facility also started mentoring the team. From there, started FLL teams, junior FLL teams, and really just kind of fell in love with FIRST. And I guess it's about 12 years ago now, an opening came up at FIRST, and I applied. I actually applied to the opening that they had was for, at the time, we don't know or hang this term, but the FIRST LEGO League Junior Program Manager is the one I applied for. Uh-huh. And they had this freak opening that happened to be for a deputy director of FRC. And and things just fit. I happen to have the engineering degree that they were looking for and the FIRST background. I've got an MBA. So all those things just kind of fit. And honestly, I got a job at FIRST that I never applied for. So that's what I like to say, it's just been a dream. It's a terrific job. I get to work with amazing folks like Fiona on the staff, so dedicated, so really determined to do the best for the teams and the volunteers and everyone that's participating, the sponsors and everyone else. It's been fantastic. Excellent. I'm the luckiest man in the world.
Great. I couldn't have asked for better response and feedback. I appreciate the story and the information from you guys, the time. And again, I know this is a busy time for you guys, but I really appreciate it. So we want to make sure that everybody tunes in every Tuesday to listen to us on Robotics Roundtable, Tuesdays at 6 p.m. WSJM 94.9 locally. If you are listening on the radio or Facebook Live, you can do News Talk 94, Sports 94.9 WSJM. We'll be back in a few minutes. minutes, we're going to meet one of our new teams. And again, thank you, Fiona and Frank, for participation.
Thanks so really much for having us, Tim. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Thanks, guys. Hello, and welcome to Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. I'm your host, Tim Dunai. We meet here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to discuss high school robotics with area teams from Southwest Michigan. You can also catch any Robotics Roundtable discussion you missed on WSJM.com as a podcast, or see the video now of our discussion on WSJM's Facebook page. So welcome again, everybody. Tonight, we are joined by the Greengineers from Berrien Springs. In the world of FIRST Robotics, every team has an official number. This is team 3452. Wave hello for those on Facebook, guys. There's our Greengineers friends. Want to have you guys go around the horn here and introduce yourselves. Tell me your name, the grade level that you're in, maybe how long you've been involved with robotics. And we'll start with Devin. You're the veteran. Let's have you go first.
So my name's Devin. I'm a senior, that's 12th grade, and I've been on the team for this being my fourth year.
Thank you. Whoever feels like going next.
My name's Vincent. I'm in eighth grade, and this is my first year on the team.
My name is Nick. I'm a junior. This is my third year on the team.
AJ?
Hi, my name's AJ. This is my first year on this team.
And what grade are you in, AJ?
I am a freshman.
Okay, thank you. Federer, how about you?
My name is Federer. I am in eighth grade, and this is my first year on the team.
And then our group that's all together.
Hi, I'm Adina, and I'm a sophomore, and this is my first year on the team.
Hi, my name is Sam. I'm a junior. It's also my first year on this team.
Very good.
I'm Adalia. I'm a freshman, and this is my first year on the team.
Okay, great. And then holding everything together, there's got to be someone that holds everybody together. How about our coach on my screen, center of the screen?
I am Darren Gilson. I'm the coach of the team. I've been involved with FIRST Robotics with the Greengineers since 2016.
Very good. We have any other mentors crawling around there, Darren?
Not on camera. We do have one in the back giving some assistance, and that is Andy Abshagan. He's been with the team, I think, at least 3 years now. Yep.
Very good. Very good. I know it doesn't just happen with one mentor, because that would just probably be the end of you, right, Darren?
Yeah. I need lots of support.
Great. Hey, so thanks again for joining us, guys. We're really happy to have the Greengineers as the very first team for this season, our sixth season, although the 2020 season consisted of two shows, but we're still going to mark it up as a season. So we want to thank you guys for kicking off Robotics Roundtable. So I'm going to throw this first question out to you guys. We've changed. Normally, you guys would be in the studio at WSJM, and we'd be doing this sitting around a table. That's part of Robotics Roundtable. But now we're meeting in a virtual space. So talk to me a little bit about doing robotics in the virtual space. What's been good about it? What's maybe not been so good about it?
I can talk a little bit about that. So when this all first started, we switched to Google Meetings, and I think that was the hardest part of the year for 2020 and 2021, the robotics season. Not many people came just because it was virtual. It wasn't as interactive and intimate, so it wasn't the best. But moving into in person, we've been sanitizing, wearing masks, separating when we can. It's not back to normal, but it's as close to normal as we think we're going to get for now. And it's definitely a lot better.
Very good. Very good. How long have you been doing the meeting in person? Somebody else want to jump in?
We started meeting in person in September, about the time school went back. We just had the opportunity. We meet off-site, just a little bit off-campus. And when school went back to meeting in person, we did. We've been following what the school's guidance has been for STEM classes.
So, and safe to assume it's, you know, practicing social distancing. I see everybody here is wearing masks, so we've adapted to utilizing that, sanitizing, washing hands as frequently as possible, correct?
Yes.
AJ, so tell me a little bit about, you said that you've participated in robotics in the past. You know, what has been some of the pieces that are different? You expected to do a certain thing when you came into high school robotics, different maybe than middle school. So what stuff have you missed out on, and what things have you still been able to do?
Some things I've missed out on, I mean, getting like the normal competition experience I would for high school robotics. That's one thing that's changed and that I wish I was able to do. There's definitely a big difference between the middle school robotics team and the high school robotics team. With the high school robotics team, there's a lot more parts you're able to use compared to the middle school.
Okay. Skill set that you're learning too also, is that a little bit more enhanced with the high school?
Yes.
Nick, how about you? You know, also as somebody who's been around for a bit, you know, what are some of the other things that maybe we haven't talked about here that are a little bit different about doing robotics during the pandemic?
It's definitely been a lot harder because some people aren't allowed to make it to the meetings just because parent restrictions or other restrictions within the family. And we have to be careful of people getting quarantined. So we have to contact trace. We've been keeping track of people and when they get here and when they leave so that we can make things like that easier. So we all have to sign in at the beginning of the meeting and make sure to keep track of all those things.
So Federer, that piece where we're keeping track of things, is everybody a part of that, you know, keeping track of, you know, signing in and making sure everybody does that when they come in?
Everybody that walks through the door has to sign that sheet. And when they leave, they also have to sign that sheet.
So as a team, we understand that that's a very important thing to do. So it's just part of the new world that we have to deal with. And I'm glad to see that you guys have adapted to that real well. So let's talk a little bit about the challenges or competitions that you are doing this year. And if we want Sam and Athena and Adelia, if you guys want to together just talk about that for us.
Yeah, this year we're doing the Skills Challenge at Home and the Industrial Design Award.
And the Industrial Design Award. Okay, so those are two different things. So tell me a little bit about the skills competition. What are the things that you do there that are unique? And if anyone else wants to add into it, you know, to help out Adelia with that, please feel free to chime in.
So the skills challenge is a little bit different from in-person events. In-person events would be a 3v3 alliance. You can't do that, though, with social distancing and limited capacity indoors. So this year, each team, as long as they have access to a 15 by 30 foot arena, in quotations, they should be able to compete in the skills challenge because three power cells, those are the game pieces, were included in the kit of parts this year. So there's a couple of different skills challenges. There's some that revolve around autonomous, some that revolve around just driving, and some that revolve around like moving, driving, autonomous, and shooting. So it's a really well-rounded, like, thing, hat to pick from, if you will.
Okay.
This year, we're focusing more on the driving and shooting.
Okay. So focusing on the driving and shooting, I know we have an operator and we have a driver. Who's had the ability to be able to participate either beginning of the season practicing, and who intends to hopefully participate in that challenge as a driver or an operator?
I, at the beginning of the season, had the chance to operate last year's robot, and this year for the driving challenge, I would hope to be able to do that, because driving the robot is a pretty interesting thing to do.
It's the fun piece. It's the piece almost everybody wants to do. Thanks, Vincent. Mm-hmm. AJ, I saw you raise your hand. Did you want to add anything into that? How about Federer? Have you had the opportunity to practice driving the robot at all, or, you know, the chassis early on?
Yeah, I had the chance to drive the last year's robot, and I had the chance to drive a chassis with the swerve drive on it.
So the swerve drive, tell me about this, because I know I've talked to some people from the team, and the swerve drive is a new piece for you guys this year. Who wants to talk a little bit about that? Somebody besides Devin. There we go, Nick.
This year, we actually opted to do a swerve drive because it allows us more maneuverability around the field. And it's something that the team has been looking into trying to do for a few years. And we kind of decided that we wanted to be able to have that maneuverability with some of the game challenges this year, like the barrel racing track that we have to do as one of the skill challenges. And we also decided that since we kind of had the expanded time since this year and last year kind of mushed together, it allowed us a better chance of being able to properly implement a swerve drive into this year's competition.
So is there anything you give up by going to the swerve drive? I mean, the maneuverability is a great thing, but do we lose anything? Do we lose speed? Do we lose torque, strength, any of that?
We were going to lose some strength and torque behind it, and we also lose experience as it's not something we've actually used before. So there have been some problems along the way, but we're making our way through them.
So the experience you're losing, is it just because you're not familiar with it, or do we go back to the driver and operator having to get used to that new machine that you get to drive?
A little bit of both. We haven't messed with it much in the past besides till this year when we started working with it. So putting it together, there were some issues at first, and learning the programming has been a little difficult. But then even once we've gotten there, the driving is definitely a lot different than a tank drive. So it takes some getting used to with the driver on the driver's end.
I see. So I'm curious then, would it be fair to say that even some of the students who have just joined in, this being their first year, they're maybe at the same place as far as experience level, being able to drive that swerve drive as some of the veterans?
Yeah. Everybody here is pretty equally balanced to be able to drive because none of us really have the experience with it yet.
So that's great news then for Sam. Like Sam and Federer, they want to be able to drive, and they can come in and say, hey, I've got just as much experience as the veterans, right, Sam?
Yeah, and also the swerve drive presents a programming challenge because the program, we only know how to do the tank drives, which is what we've been doing, and swerve drive means it's a new challenge for the programming team.
So tell me about that from a programming standpoint. Who is who's helping you get through the programming pieces, that learning a new skill set?
Our mentor, Max, he's not on the Zoom right now, but he Zooms with us every single time we come and helps us through the barriers and challenges.
Yeah, Max Dreher, he's an alumni. And actually, I'm going to get together with him and a couple other alumni from the Greengineers and talk a little bit about what they're doing in their careers right now. And this is the point in the show where we'd like to let the students and the mentors give a shout out. This is something we started in the very first year of doing the show, and it's always worked out kind of nice. You get to find out some of the people who are influential in the students' lives. So, Federer, let's start with you. Somebody you'd like to give a shout out to.
I would like to give a shout out to NASA for sponsoring us this year.
Very good. If you're going to have a sponsor, NASA's a pretty good one to have. AJ.
I would like to thank Coach Darren and him being able to still be here, allowing us to continue robotics this year, even during all of COVID.
Yeah, much, much appreciated, Darren, for the work you're doing this year and you've done in years past. Vincent, how about you?
I'm going to have to thank my science teacher, Miss Yusan, for bringing this up to me, because I would not have found this if she hadn't brought it up. And I also want to thank my mom for bringing me here every day.
Very good. Always good to thank mom. Usually moms are involved with meals. I've just found it's good to thank moms. Nick, how about you?
I'd like to put my shout out towards our coach Gilson, our assistant coach William Brown, and our head build mentor for this year, my dad, Mr. Abshagan, for allowing us to be able to come in and meet early and just allowing us to be able to continue to meet still, even with COVID and everything, because some teams just don't have that capability because they don't have the coaches that are able to come in. And some teams just don't have the capability to come in early. And I'm thankful that we can come in early and stay late and kind of work on the schedule that works best for students sometimes.
That's excellent. It's good that you show some gratitude too for them. It's a little bit extra that they have to do. Plus, you get the opportunity to work alongside of them and learn from them. A lot of skill sets and just a work ethic, I would imagine. The big three in the window here, Sam, Athena, Adelia. Well, how about you guys give a shout out? One at a time, though.
I'd like to give a shout out to Devin. He's what got into this program. He basically recruited me, and I wouldn't be here without him.
Very good. Athena?
I wanted to give a big shout out to our programming mentor, Max, who has been like juggling his work and teaching us programming out of his own time. He's been like very patient and kind towards us. I also want to give a shout out to my parents and friends who has been very supportive throughout the robotics season.
Very good. And last, Adelia?
I'd like to thank my dad for dropping me off and picking me up from robotics, and also our sponsor, Whirlpool, who gave us quite a bit of money for our robotics program.
Yes, we cannot do this without sponsors. Devin, would you like to add anything?
Just another big shout out for the mentors, because like Nick said, we're coming in early, staying late. Can't do it without them because, you know, don't want to chop off a hand. But really, just a big shout out to them because, you know, they're always on time, but some of us aren't. Myself included. So thank you to all the mentors.
Very good. Darren, how about you? Anybody you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to all the parents and supporting their students and participating this season. And a special shout out to our new assistant coach, William Brown. He's a math teacher at the Bering Springs High School and already proven to be a very valuable member of the team. Also all our mentors. The one thing that's great with the program is that we tend to not lose mentors. We just keep building. So we have a strong mentor support. And then, of course, all our sponsors.
Yeah, there's one thing I've noticed throughout the years in being involved with robotics is the mentors, even after their students graduate, they tend to still hang around because, well, they just don't have anything else to do and they've gotten so used to it. Right, Darren?
Yes. Yeah. Once you've gotten started, you're hooked.
You can check out anytime you'd like. You can never leave. That's pretty much what it is. So tell me a little bit about Mr. Brown. How did he reach out to the team, or did the team reach out to him? How did you gain an additional mentor?
Well, our previous coach, Stacy Annis, who's still involved with the team, was just so busy with work, partially pandemic related, that we needed some additional support. So working through the school system, the administration, they had identified William Brown as a great candidate. He's a math teacher. Students really love him. He's involved in a lot of activities, and they were able to free up some of his time so he could help us out.
Well, that's excellent. That's always, like I said, it's great to have a mentor come in, and especially have a mentor who can hit the ground running and become a very valuable piece of the team. So I've got one last question I'd like to ask, and I'd throw it out to everybody, is, you know, for maybe we'll start with some of the first years. Coming into robotics, tell me about something that you've been able to do that you did not even begin to think that you would be doing as a part of robotics. And I don't care if it's programming, if it's building, if it's just learning an additional skill set from the mentors, just go ahead and share something with me there. And I'm going to start with, we'll start with Federer.
I only wanted to, or when I joined robotics, I wanted to build the robot and be engaged in the process of building the robot. This year, I got involved with doing the website, little parts of it, and doing CAD.
Good. Very good. Very good. So those aren't things you were planning on. How about anybody else wants to share a little bit?
I'm working with Java for the first time. I never did that before we started programming the robot, so that's kind of cool.
So a programming language, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's also the same for me. I worked with C# before, and it's also my first time working with Java.
Athena, since we're talking to that group, what about you?
Oh, so like I joined like another robotics team last year, and I was working more of like mechanical and electrical, so I didn't actually thought about programming until I came to this team. I was like, why don't I try something new? So when I first started programming, it was actually very challenging for me because I didn't have much experience. And then Max, our mentor, managed to like teach us both digitally and like hands-on base, showing us how like the code is executed on the robot.
So do you think doing the programming piece also helped you, you know, or I should say you were helped with your electrical and background and mechanical understanding that, knowing those pieces? Do you think that helped by them when you started to do the programming, because now you're tying everything together?
Yeah, it makes more sense, because last year when we had like some electrical problems with like certain parts of the robot, I get very confused because certain parts of it is like the programming problem. Until I learn programming, it starts getting pieces together and making me understand it better.
Nick, how about you? I mean, now you're, this is third year, I think you said, into this. So things you've done this year, but even in your lifetime within robotics that you never really expected you'd be doing.
My third year on the team, it's actually my sixth year on a first robotics team in total. But I can't say that there's really anything that ever really surprised me. I kind of knew what was happening from the beginning and just kind of caught on as things were supposed to be happening and what was going on, when and where, and how it all worked out.
Good, good. I'm still amazed at some of the things that you can do. And even just talking a little bit about, you know, with Sam and Adelia talking about, you know, their learning of language and already, you know, doing C#, and now Java is something I'm learning. And I'm thinking back, you know, Darren, when we were in school, we were not necessarily thinking along that line. So I want to make sure I cover everybody else. Devin, I haven't covered you yet. You know, what's something that you've seen, you know, this year, maybe either from yourself or from the students, the new ones who have come on, that you hadn't expected?
Honestly, for me, I never saw myself kind of being a leader. And now I kind of am having the most experience and kind of trying to pass that down. I never expected that from me. I also never expected some of the amount of dedication these guys show. It's really, it's incredible. I didn't expect that either.
So you didn't expect that amount of dedication out of the mentors or the new people?
Everybody.
You guys will have a separate team meeting, I'm sure, after we get done with this. So, Vincent, did we cover you? Go ahead.
I came into robotics expecting to do coding and anything related to actually writing to move the robot. But then I found myself more interested in CAD and building, and I found out that there are a lot of interesting things that are going on in CAD and building. And so I kind of changed my focus from being on coding to being on the build team and CAD and being on making CADs.
So any of you, has this affected what you think you may want to do, you know, when you graduate from high school and, you know, into a career path? Has anybody had changes in mind based upon just their experience here? Nick?
No, I've actually switched, ironically, from wanting to go into the engineering field to trying to go into the culinary field.
We need somebody to feed
us. Way.
But this has still been valuable time, because you find out if it's something you want to do or don't want to do. Darren, I'm gonna finish up with you. So the same question: what have you seen from the students that surprised you, and what just hasn't surprised you? You know, that maybe they're doing that you knew they were going to do, but they really didn't think they were going to.
One thing that doesn't really surprise me is just that they don't know what they want to do. They'll come in with an idea that maybe something sounds interesting, and we certainly encourage that, but we want to give them a smattering of little parts of it and let them dig down as deep as they want to go. And from year to year, there may be activities that the team did last year that we don't do this year because there hasn't been the interest, and there may be something where they come up with an idea and we let them run with it, so they continue to add an element to the team that we didn't have before.
Excellent. Very well stated, too. I would agree with that. You know, getting to see teams, you know, Green Engineers are definitely one of the top teams that always, you know, does well and never surprises me by what you do. And also, we didn't get a chance to talk about it here, but the Green Engineers, you guys do a phenomenal job of being out in the Southwest Michigan community, promoting robotics. And hopefully we'll get to a point where we can meet at the Berrien County Youth Fair, do the Mini Maker Fair, and all those things that that bring attention to what we do in robotics so that the rest of the community can see that. I want to thank you guys again for being a part of, again, the first show for the 2021 season. I wish you well throughout the season. I'll check back with you to see how things are going, how you do in the challenges and in the judged competitions. But until next Tuesday, when we meet again for Robotics Roundtable, 94.9 WSJM, this is Tim Dunai signing off, saying stay healthy and have a great night. Good night, guys.
Thank you for joining Robotics Roundtable on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. Robotics Roundtable is supported by Berrien Springs Public Schools, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community. Cook Nuclear Plant. Explore careers at aep.com/careers. South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. And Lakeshore Public Schools, supporting and offering STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Grounded in tradition, committed to excellence.